NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by the Retail Clerks International Association, dedicated exclusively to the welfare of retail store employees. Now with the news, Paul Duke.
Israeli and Egyptian forces have clashed in the most serious outbreak of fighting along the Suez Canal since last October. The latest now from Alvin Rosenfeld, NBC News, Jerusalem.
Some Israeli shells apparently landed on the Egyptian oil refinery at Suez during the course of tonight's major artillery duel on the canal. So said an Israeli military source in commenting on reports from Cairo that the important refinery was hit. The battle, which raged for a time all along the ceasefire line on the canal, petered out 5 hours and 10 minutes after it began and after repeated United Nations efforts to secure a ceasefire. The Israelis say 7 Israeli soldiers were wounded during the fighting, 2 of them seriously. Each side blamed the other for the ferocious fighting, and the Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman charged that Egypt had opened fire deliberately all along the front in an effort to convince the world that the Middle East is on the verge of all-out war and thereby to press the great powers into forcing a hasty settlement. Alvin Rosenfeld, NBC News, Jerusalem.
A foreign affairs advisor to Egyptian President Nasser has arrived in London for talks with British leaders about the growing Middle East tension. In Washington, it was a principal subject at a two-hour meeting today between Secretary of State Rogers and Russian Ambassador Dobrynin. The enemy offensive may be accelerating in Vietnam, the number of new rocket and mortar attacks having doubled in the past 24 hours. There is another big demonstration in Moscow today against the Chinese, more than 100,000 marching past the Chinese embassy. In Turin, Italy, several hundred persons tried to storm the American consulate, breaking several windows in protest against U.S. relations with the Greek military regime. More news after this from the RCIA.
Shop in any large retail store, and at one time or another, the sales lady who waits on you is self-supporting with her salary as her only source of income. This sales lady knows the product she's selling, she's friendly and well-spoken, and if she's a member of the RCIA, the Retail Clerks International Association, chances are she lives well, enjoys the good things in life. She's able to make ends meet and maintain a good standard of living because, like nearly 600,000 other RCIA members throughout the United States and Canada, she is assured many valuable things through her union-negotiated contract. Good salary, good working conditions, medical and hospital expenses, paid vacations, and many other fringe benefits, including an employer-paid pension plan when she retires. For more information, check your telephone directory for the Retail Clerks Union in your community or write to the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20036. Once again, Paul Duke.
The Apollo 9 astronauts encountered trouble today when the main engine of their spacecraft failed to fire so they could be lowered into safer orbit around the Earth. But the trouble was soon corrected and the engine was successfully fired in a second attempt. Attorney General John Mitchell said in a New York speech this afternoon, the administration intends to crack down hard against the mafia and other elements of organized crime. It's disclosed in Washington, the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee, headed by Mississippi's James Eastland, has begun investigating violence on the campus, with an eye to finding out whether any of it is communist-directed. New surveys show growing opposition in the Senate to a nationwide system against missile attacks. The surveys suggest Congress may not approve such a system except on a smaller scale. More in a moment.
Ever notice how wonderfully logical excuses you can find for not starting to do something? Noted psychologist Dr. Joyce Brothers says starting is very often harder than doing, especially when it comes to moving to a new home, unquote. Greyhound Van Lines is a regular whiz at helping you start, plan, and organize your move. Remember, when you call Greyhound Van Lines, you're dealing with Greyhound, the same Greyhound that has stood for dependability and responsibility for over 50 years. Think about that. Then leave the moving to us.
Actress Elizabeth Taylor's personal doctor says there is absolutely no truth to a report she may have cancer of the spine, a report printed today in a Detroit newspaper. Miss Taylor is undergoing new examination for back trouble in a Hollywood hospital, but her physician says she'll be released next week. Rescue workers are making further progress in efforts to free a trapped miner in Utah. They're now about 10 feet away. Montana Senator Lee Metcalf, who contends utility rates are too high, says electrical companies overcharged Americans by $1.5 billion in 1967. Metcalf is advocating tighter rate regulation. Again, the hour's top story, shelling has ended along the Suez Canal in the most serious clash between Israeli and Egyptian forces since last October. Paul Duke, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again in the hour when Greyhound Van Lines brings you NBC Monitor News. You're tuned to Monitor, and here are the ventures with a cool title, Soul Breeze. You to join me in relaxing to the voice of Dino Martin, who sings Gentle on My Mind.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk that makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that have dried up on some lines. Keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. Keeps you with a gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on the columns now that binds me, or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing nor forgiven when I walk along some railroad track and find on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gently on my mind. Well, I dipped my cup of soup back from the gurgling crack and cauldron in some train yarn. My beard a roughened coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Cupped hands round a tin can, I pretend I hold it to my breast and find that you're waving from the back road by the river of my memory, ever smiling, ever gentle on the mind.
Cigarette smoking may be hazardous to your health, so says the warning on the package. But apparently it can also be hazardous to your grooming, your financial stability, and the condition of your home if you happen to be someone with a slightly bilious outlook on life like my old friend Henry Morgan.
We had a big weekend around here on the subject of smoking, and I never had a chance to get my 2 cents worth in. Of course, I may be exaggerating the value of my contribution, but that never stopped me before. There are some hazards connected with smoking that I don't believe have been mentioned. I, for instance, carry my cigarettes in my shirt pocket. The shirt pocket is right in back of the one in the jacket where the handkerchief goes. Between the two, they work up a lump in your suit that looks as though you have a funny build on one side. Now, you can balance this out by carrying an extra pack in the pocket with your wallet on the other side, but then your suit hunches up in three places, one on each side and one in the back of your neck. Another serious hazard is the girl in the hat check room who sells you the cigarettes in expensive restaurants here in New York. In the hat check room, they get 75 cents, and you're supposed to tip the girl a quarter. That's a buck a pack. I want to tell you, the first time that happened to me, there was smoke coming out of my ears, and I hadn't even lit anything. Don't go away, there's more. Did you know that in a smoker's house, you have to wash the walls and the windows twice as often? It's true. All that smoke has to go somewhere. After it goes inside you and messes up your heart and lungs, it comes out and goes over and lies down along the walls. You get both effects for the price of one. Another hazard is rugs. When you or your friends burn holes in the rugs, have you noticed that the holes are always in the most visible places? Sometimes you can fiddle around and get the hole under a chair, but what do you do with wall-to-wall carpeting? One thing is to go out and get a small throw rug, but they won't usually lie flat on top of the wall-to-wall. The other possibility is to get a piano and keep it in the middle of the room. And when they ask you why it's in the middle, the best answer is a light rap in the teeth. There are other fine things about the habit that people forget to mention. Smoking regularly is very good for drying up your nose and playing hob with your sinuses. It dries out the back of your throat, too. And I sometimes feel in some way it's even managing to damage my wrists. Well, as I said, I should have done this little piece the weekend when Monitor covered smoking, but I couldn't. Had a terrible headache. Too much smoking. This is Henry Morgan, known around here as Hack Hack.
Well, occasionally I take trips at night, and I find myself driving and looking at the white line. You know, this becomes a little hazardous. Well, I remember an occasion when I found myself on the grass. I was, you know, really shocked. It was only the horns of the other cars.
When you're tired, don't drive. When you're rested, but the monotony of driving makes you drowsy, pull over, take a break, and take two for the road. Two no-dose action aids. They've got the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, yet they're not habit-forming. No-dose action aids. No car should be without them.
Time is coming up on 14 minutes after the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Would you believe churned honey? You'd better believe it, because it's now featured at your neighborhood supermarket. It's Lakeshore brand churned honey, pure natural honey in a spread form. Spreads just as easily as jam or butter, never drips. Try Lakeshore churned honey on biscuits. It's beautiful. For a new and different taste sensation, treat yourself to Lakeshore churned honey. Instant energy and vitamins in a 12-ounce jar. That's Lakeshore churned honey. Represented by Nickel Brothers Associates, Fort Lee, New Jersey.
The
this is Jack Hayes. All I said was, I like a radio station that gives you everything. Groovy music, light news, fun contests, and nice people. And boy, did I get told where to go.
This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you find the nicest people. Jack Hayes, weekdays, noon to 3.
WNBC Radio 660, New York.
The Navy Court of Inquiry over the Pueblo incident is drawing to a close, but its effect will probably be felt for a long time. For its possible effect on Navy procedures in the future, here is NBC newsman Robert Goralski.
The Court of Inquiry into the Pueblo case is not likely to be concluded in the next week or two. Navy officials will then take a long look at the transcript, and they'll issue a report. It may include a recommendation that a court-martial be convened to investigate the matter further. But elsewhere in the Navy, officers will be looking into the longer-range implications of Pueblo. They'll compare what happened off the North Korean coast in January of last year and what happened to the USS Liberty off the Egyptian coast in June of 1967. The Pueblo and Liberty incidents will both be re-examined in the light of future intelligence activities and requirements. The Liberty, you'll recall, was also engaged in snooping during the Arab-Israeli War when it was accidentally attacked by Israeli ships and planes. The Navy did not acquit itself of charges that it was hardly acting in the most prudent way when Liberty was attacked. For one, communications were incredibly slow in reaching the ship, and she probably wouldn't have been in that close had a Washington message arrived earlier. Essentially, Liberty and Pueblo were engaged in similar missions, but the Pueblo's was far more sophisticated. As it turns out, she was actually equipped to handle surveillance of the Soviet Union ships, a more demanding assignment than Liberty, which was just supposed to overhear battlefield communications. The basic question is whether the Navy can or should do work of this kind, particularly if the ships are not to be adequately protected. There are strong reasons to believe that the Navy will have to carry out intelligence work of its own, and perhaps to serve as a cover for activities of the National Security Agency, which is even more secretive than the Central Intelligence Agency. What is likely to happen is that the Navy will modify its procedures and methods for protecting its ships. Lessons have been learned from what happened to the Pueblo and the Liberty. Robert Goralski, NBC News in Washington.
Classics 4 with their latest. It's called Traces.
Faded photographs, covered now with lines and creases, tickets torn in half, memories in bits and pieces, traces of love long ago. Traces of love, ribbons from her hair, souvenirs of days together, the ring she used to wear, pages from an old love letter, traces of love long ago. Traces of love with me tonight. I close my eyes and say a prayer that in her heart she'll find a trace of love still there somewhere. Of tears from my eyes.
Texas Monitor, heard on NBC stations all around the country. A case in point, the Outdoorsman station in the Big Sky Country, KARR, in Great Falls, Montana. Back shortly, Gene Rayburn.
Big, bigger, better. The Big Wilson Show. Weekdays 9 to noon on WNBC Radio 660, New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News. It's 5:30, 40 degrees in New York and partly cloudy. New York City Investigations Commissioner Robert Ruskin says he knows the identity of the staff member who leaked a story to the news media this week about a probe into the city controller's office. Last Wednesday, newspapers reported that the controller's office had okayed a number of loans out of city employee pension funds and that the borrowers had paid off certain representatives in advance. Ruskin says the man who disclosed the investigation is no longer in the department. Doctors at Montefiore Hospital in the Bronx have performed a rare transplant operation. For the first time on the East Coast, surgeons have successfully transplanted a lung. The patient was suffering from chronic emphysema. He's reported in satisfactory condition today. Another transplant patient is in critical condition at New York Hospital in Manhattan. 19-year-old Ronald Nelson is one of six persons who received organs from a single donor last month. Nelson, who received a new kidney, suffered a relapse yesterday. New York City trucking industry has launched a new security project in hopes of reducing the $50 million a year theft and hijacking of clothing from the garment district. From now on, private guards will be stationed outside the garages at the expense of garage owners and truckers. In Albany, the legislature has approved a new, tougher version of the state Taylor law that bans strikes by public employees. Details in this report from WNBC newsman Mike Moss. The changes approved for the Taylor law provide fines for the individual public employees who strike. The workers will be liable for up to 2 days' pay for every day they take part in an illegal walkout. It's the first time the employees have been liable for any fines under state law. The measure also levies fines without limitation on unions that strike. The current limit is $10,000 a day. The amended Taylor law also provides for greatly improved pre-strike bargaining procedures. One of the biggest problems in many of the public employee strikes here in the last few months has been communications among the parties involved. The stronger penalties are going to provoke more strikes instead of less, according to critics of the changes in the Taylor law. Mike Moss, WNBC News.
The Apollo 9 astronauts passed the halfway point in their 10-day Earth orbital journey today. The only problem on the near-perfect mission occurred this afternoon when a big propulsion engine on the command ship failed to fire because of a malfunction in fuel jets. The burn was to have lowered the ship's altitude in preparation for next Thursday's landing. 90 minutes later, the astronauts tried the firing again, and it worked. Again, all is well with Apollo 9. The Associated Press has published a poll that indicates President Nixon may run into trouble on Capitol Hill over the Sentinel anti-missile controversy. The AP survey shows 47 of the 100 members of the Senate are against deployment of the system at this time. Only 29 are actually in favor, and the rest are on the fence. Sources in Washington, meantime, say the president has made up his mind to go ahead with the Sentinel program and may announce his intentions next week. Israel and Egypt fought battles on the ground and in the air today. Artillery duels were reported across the Suez Canal, each side blaming the other for starting it. The air battle was a dogfight between jets over the Sinai Desert. Both Israel and Egypt claim they shot down one plane. Communist mortar squad shelled about 40 Allied bases and towns across South Vietnam yesterday. Military sources in Saigon say this could signal the second phase of the spring offensive. In ground fighting, Viet Cong and North Vietnamese troops tried to overrun a U.S. Army base 15 miles north of Saigon, but they were turned back. 154 communists were reported killed, American casualties 11 dead. The weather in New York, sunny for the rest of the day. Tonight, cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. It will be cloudy Sunday with the likelihood of some snow and a high in the upper 30s. Right now it's 40 degrees and partly cloudy in New York. And again, the top story, City Investigations Commissioner says he knows the identity of a staff member who leaked a story to the news media this week about a probe into the controller's office. Frank Gorin, WNBC News.
Here's Monitor 69, the home of music, sports, special features, and this weekend, hourly reports on the flight of Apollo 9. which is a good cue for this number by Herman's Hermits, Something's Happening.
Something is happening, and it started happening when you walked by. Something is happening, and it's changing everything. Do you know why? Soon as you started to kiss me, something new suddenly hit me. The world over, it's always happening, the same sort of thing to others too. Something is happening to you. Something is happening, exciting, bewildering. You must know why something is happening. I can't think of anything but you and why what begins.
Student today, deciding what he'll do after graduation is often just a matter of waiting for the best offer. How this campus recruiting works and how students feel about it is the subject of today's Monitor Campus poll. NBC Newsman Bill Ryan has the story.
Frequently, in the continuing eruptions of campus unrest, a stated object of the protest is campus recruiting by major corporations. Many business firms feel the recruitment of imminent graduates is important, and it has become quite competitive. Present executives have said the future success of their firms lies not only with products, but also with personnel. Students who have majored in engineering, business administration, and science can expect starting salaries up to $10,000 a year. Top law students, accepted by leading firms, can command half as much more. Student militants have demonstrated against recruiting on campus, with some of the strongest protests aimed at the Dow Chemical Company. One of its many products is napalm, used in Vietnam, and that has contributed to its being singled out as a somewhat special target. College Poll asks students on more than 100 campuses, do you think representatives of Dow Chemical and other companies which manufacture materials for the Defense Department should be allowed to recruit on campus? 85% answered yes, 5% said no, the rest were undecided or gave no opinion.
Most of the students surveyed said there was no connection between their war attitudes and recruiting. A Princeton senior's answer seemed typical of those who did not object to on-campus recruiting. He said, practically every big corporation makes some products for the military, and besides, there's nothing wrong if they do. A University of Connecticut freshman summed up the opposition attitude, saying, you have to protest someplace, and corporations shouldn't go on the campuses when they are helping to burn people overseas. But college poll indicates the majority, the vast majority of college students do not feel that is the issue. Most students approve on-campus recruiting by major firms, no matter their products or the uses to which they are put. Bill Ryan, NBC News, for Monitor.
Here's David Houston counting his blessings with My Woman's Good to Me.
Your lips are warm and close to mine. I know their taste like warm red wine. And if I let myself go, I know I'd fall. But someone's waiting all alone by a lonely telephone. And though I'd love to stay, I know I'll call. 'Cause I can't forget her. No, I can't forget her. My woman's good. Her eyes are not as blue as yours. Her lips are not as soft as yours. And if I kissed you, she'd probably never know. But when tomorrow brings the sun, I'd have to live what I'd done. And though I'd love to stay, I'd better go. 'Cause I
ahead, another progress report on the flight of our Apollo 9 spacecraft. Gene Rayburn here, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
We love you truly.
Mr. Rupert,
thanks for ignoring the 10 burglary safeguards. You make it easy for us. Mr. Parisi, thank you for leaving your lights off. We hope you spent your vacation in as nice a place as we spent your money. Support your local burglar. Why should he work as hard as you?
Operation Safe City.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is NBC News, the flight of Apollo 9. This is Dean Merrill, NBC News. A procedural goof by the ground controllers in Houston was blamed for the failure of the Apollo 9 SPS engine to fire on time today. Wrong numbers were put into the computer that controls the engine firing. The numbers indicated the spacecraft was aimed south instead of north. When the computer gets such conflicting figures, it doesn't do anything. So it failed to begin ullage. Ullage is a procedure for feeding the weightless fuel into the engine without mixing the fuel with helium.
When the computer failed to start, alleged the engine firing was canceled. The right numbers were fed into the computer on the next orbit, and the engine fired perfectly. In discussing the human error, Houston Control explained what the possible effects might have been.
After we get down to where we're on just the sump tanks, in other words, the storage tanks are empty, and we have ullage, or helium, in the tank that's directly feeding the engine, you stand the chance, if you don't ullage, of taking some helium into the engine. Now, burning helium, ingesting helium into the engine in itself is not any serious thing. It's on the subsequent engine start, after you have done a no-ullage start with the sump tanks, that you might run into problems. So it's the subsequent start that bothers you. Now, if it's a critical burn like retrofire, there's no subsequent start.
This is Dean Mell at the NBC News Apollo Space Center.
How's that again?
Follow the flight of Apollo 9 through the weekend here on Monitor, and on NBC Radio, as well as Splashdown and Recovery on Thursday. Now we've got music by Renee and Renee, a serenade little Latin lady, muchachita.
Ay, muchachita, te quiero tanto, me paso las noches pensando en tu amor. Linda muchachita, te quiero tanto, te llevo muy dentro de mi corazón. Remember the night when I held you so close, the night when I said I love you. I'll never forget how you kissed me, and then I promised I'd always be true. I knew muchachita, te quiero tanto, y espero que nunca te alejes de mí. Recuerdo la noche que te conocí, la noche que me enamoré. Te tuve en mis brazos por primera vez, y así te entregué mi querer. Ay, muchachita, my one and only, my life was so lonely, there's no one but you. Linda muchachita, I love you dearly, I say this sincerely, I'll always be true, I'll always be true.
No doubt about it. Your Plymouth dealer tells it like it is when competition can't even write it down. Did you know Plymouth Fury comes with class exclusives like torsion bar suspension for better handling, single unit welded body for strength, 7-step dip and spray treatment for rust proofing? Competition offers none of these features. Did you know Fury 3 has the biggest brakes, the biggest trunk, and the most rear seat room in its class? Precision, easy to read gauges instead of warning lights. Widest door opening for easy entry and exit. Even a standard electric clock. Get the straight story. See your Plymouth dealer. When it comes to a great car buy, he tells it like it is. And now, during the great Plymouth sale, you can buy a new Fury with reduced prices on such popular options as vinyl roof, all vinyl interior, and many others. Drop by your Plymouth dealers today. He tells it like it is.
Leonard Probst, our man on the aisle, has attended 3 openings since we last heard from him and indicates that it's been quite a varied week on and off Broadway.
The New York Theater put aside the safe approach this week, dumped the old-style escapist stuff, and became topical. Some of it front page, some of it backroom humor, but all of it relevant, meaningful, and up to the moment. The week began with a homosexual play, Spitting Image, by Englishman Colin Spencer. It's the first play about homosexuals with a happy ending. Up to now, they're always punished at the final curtain. It's a fantasy about an odd couple, opening with Daddy Number 1 pretending to become pregnant, having a baby offstage, and ending with Daddy Number 2 becoming pregnant. It's a funny idea, but it grows dull and tiresome because it's only a one-joke play and it's milked very dry. That was followed by The Wrong Way Light Bulb by Leonard Spiegelgass. It's apparently autobiographical and deals with a liberal young man who desperately believes in civil rights, but he runs into reality, a riot, black nationalism, and race problems. It's a series of confrontations that are handled effectively and at times powerfully. Finally, in the matter of J. Robert Oppenheimer, an intellectually exciting drama of fact taken largely from the inquiry by the Atomic Energy Commission in 1954 into Oppenheimer's loyalty. That occurred after Oppenheimer was reluctant to develop the hydrogen bomb. The play is favorable to Oppenheimer, and it brings up problems such as a man's loyalty to his country as compared to his loyalty to mankind, and also something even more current, the concern by scientists as to how their knowledge is used. While the play, in the matter of J. Robert Oppenheimer, was going on at Lincoln Center, scientists at universities around the country this week went on a one-day strike to discuss the proper or improper use of their work. So, a good week on stage. Plays of our time, funny, bitter, and dangerous. Leonard Probst, NBC News, New York, and that's it from Broadway.
Now, Sammy Davis, with his latest and so far his biggest hit of the season, I've Gotta Be Me.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me, I gotta be me. What else can I be but what I am? I want to live, not merely survive. And I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I gotta be me, I gotta be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That faraway prize, a world of success, is waiting for me if I heed the call.
Tip for motorists, don't wear sunglasses when you're driving at night. They will reduce glare from oncoming headlights, but they do it at a considerable sacrifice to overall vision. On the other hand, wearing sunglasses during daylight hours will help your night vision that night. Now this from State Farm.
Hi, I'm Don Adams. The other day, I was trapped in the most dangerous place on Earth, the downtown freeway. Some of the drivers there put notches on their steering wheels for the cars they knock off. At one end of the freeway, there's a scoreboard. Sports cars are 3 points. Big cars are 5 points. And if you hit a bus, you get 10, and the scoreboard fires rockets. Well, I promised myself that if I ever got off that road alive, I'd do two things. First, I'd never drive on it again. Second, I'd get car insurance from State Farm Mutual, the world's biggest. because they're famous for lightning-fast claim service. And because State Farm has 3,917 claim representatives. If it weren't for that freeway, they'd probably only need three. Would you believe four?
For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Marching band. Now, this reminder, later today with Ted Steele as host, Monitor will learn all about Laughing Star Artie Johnson, who already knows all about Monitor.
Monitor. Now, that's some kind of a great new tropical lizard for these some bad little boys and girls. No, okay. Well, maybe it could be one of those big armored warships that we used, you know, with guns on the sides, and it would go... No, it's not that either. Okay. Monitor the radio program? You're putting me on. Very interesting. But if one tunes in every weekend, it's as simple as NBC. Boy, is that stupid.
Also in hand will be another very funny man, Jackie Vernon, to tell us about a comedian's obligations to his audience. You'll hear further reports on Apollo 9, plus reactions to our space program from the man on the street. And, of course, the best in popular music, so be sure to join us later on Monitor. NBC News just ahead. I'm Gene Rayburn.
Sure, and it's St. Patty's Day soon. And to celebrate, WNBC is doing its own thing, the Little Green Thing Contest. All you have to do to be a cash prize winner is dream up your own little green thing and send it to us. So for full details, keep listening to WNBC Radio 660. This is the place. Hey, that's a pretty nice little green thing. So high, about that wide, no, a little narrower than that, and about this deep. Put it in the refrigerator.
Unfair housing isn't unfair. It's illegal. This is Chico Hamilton. If anybody has refused to rent or sell your house or an apartment because you were black, yellow, Puerto Rican, Jewish, or whatever, they're breaking the Fair Housing Law of 1968. What you can do is write Fair Housing, Washington, D.C., zip code 20410. When the law says anybody can live anywhere, the law means anywhere, baby. Anywhere.
Early afternoon is the best time for it. The Jack Hayes Show, weekdays, noon to 3 on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.